Welcome to From Carpool to College, a show for parents who are trying to keep their sanity while navigating the college planning landscape.
Welcome to From Carpool to College. We are happy you're with us today. I am Tracy Amadeo.
And I'm Tara Haritz.
And we have a very special guest in the studio today, Miss Sherry Castelli. And we, of course, had an amazing pregame where we were talking about the different pathways that our children have, that our students have. Sherry is a recently retired as of
today.
Today, Sherry is celebrating her day number one of retirement. She has had an amazing career. Sherry, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background?
So a little bit about me. I started teaching science about 38 years ago, and I moved into a science supervisor position in a place
we both worked at.
In a place where Tracy and I both worked.
And we both survived and Shawshanked out of there.
We did. We got out to much better things.
Yes.
And I became a STEM supervisor in a countywide technical school. And from there, I grew and learned and developed as a professional and as a school leader. And I became first director of curriculum and then eventually the assistant superintendent. And I retired from that position.
And I could tell you, working under Sherry was amazing. And the impact that she had, Tara, this woman was like the birth mother of programs that truly changed kids' lives.
Amazing.
And it was her innovative, progressive thinking, which we don't often get, not to knock public school. The three of us are public school queens, but public school is not known for its creative problem solving.
Shucks. Thank you.
So
I feel honored that you said that, but you're 100% right. Public school can be like a very large tanker or cruise ship, and it resists a change in direction. And I think we were talking earlier about how it's hard for public schools sometimes to support students who don't fit the mold.
And that's what we're going to focus on today. We're going to talk to parents today about your kid and maybe public school or whatever school that you're in right now, it's just not fitting your kid. And looking ahead, you know, we are from carpool to college. What options could students have? What options do families have as they progress through high school and as they leave high school and exit to the great unknown, whether it's college, a certain type of college, trade school, other, gap year? Today, we have Sherry in the studio, and she is going to tell us all of these great nuggets where our kids could possibly land.
And I am going to draw on my vast experience of failure.
We all have that.
But also of success, some of which maybe I've had, but a lot which I've seen others have in creating pathways that didn't exist for themselves or their own children. So we'll talk about that.
We'll talk, yeah.
You don't have to do the same thing as everyone else.
Absolutely. Can we talk about Jasmine first?
Sure.
We're going to lead with the Jasmine story. Tell us the story for our listeners about the girl who you knew. Who was she a student of yours? Jasmine.
Oh, Jasmine.
Jasmine.
Oh, that was not her first name. She became
the Jasmine.
Jasmine
story.
Yes. Yes. No,
this,
her name wasn't Jasmine.
Like this story.
It's a very cool
sets
story.
Sets up the framework for our entire discussion today.
So I have two children. My daughter is 32 and my son is 27. And Jasmine, we'll call her, it was a contemporary of my daughter, so an older girl now. I'm not that 32 is old, but she went to high school, a very traditional high school in an affluent community, and participated in community theater. And her junior year, she had the opportunity to be Princess Jasmine at Walt Disney World.
Amazing.
And I don't even know how that came to her, but she decided she would take a year off of high school and she would be Jasmine for a year. And she came back to this very traditional high school and she applied to all kinds of wonderful colleges, including Princeton. And she was admitted to Princeton. And I actually have a friend who is an alumna of Princeton. And she always told me, she does the interviewing for admissions, and she always told me that Princeton is not looking for a well-rounded person. They are looking for a well-rounded class, and they want all kinds of interesting, compelling young people to go to Princeton. And so this particular girl had this unique experience where she had worked for Disney World as Princess Jasmine for a year, and she was the only one accepted to Princeton that year out of this particular high school. And the community was abuzz with, how did she get into Princeton? She wasn't the AP, IB typical student. And it goes to show you that the conventional thinking about what these Ivies and highly competitive colleges want doesn't always hold water.
Yeah. And I'm curious, as a school counselor, right? So how did she continue, or how would a student like that continue their education, getting the reading, writing, and arithmetic? Mm-hmm. You know, she was literally taken away from her traditional high school, highly rigorous, highly academic, and she's now Jasmine. Is she done learning? Is she just jazzing it up down there, or is she maybe taking online classes?
Absolutely. I mean, there are a couple ways you can do it. The first is you can take online classes through virtual high school. There are a lot of colleges and universities that offer online classes for high school students. You could just stop the learning for a year and repeat, you know, when you go back to the high school. You don't repeat, but you just
pick up where you left off.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Pick up where you left off.
So maybe there's a delay. Maybe you're now the class of the next class.
Exactly. Yeah. You could do that too. But there are a lot of creative ways to continue. She could even go to in-person classes in Orlando through, you know, a community college or an adult high school. So there are a lot of ways to continue your education, even when you're having an alternative experience.
Right. And when Shari's talking about going to a college, what parents, and a lot of our parents are maybe hitting pause, taking notes on this, because maybe our hope is that at least one of our listeners, our families, kind of sees themselves in this situation. So when you're looking at colleges to take high school classes, that's called dual enrollment. And colleges will advertise this. If you just Google the name of the college, typically they're community colleges. They're more accessible that way. But it's dual enrollment or early college or college for high school students. And those kids are earning a high school transcript as well as a college transcript. So that's a great option.
Yeah, I think back in my previous role as assistant superintendent, I was considered the queen of dual enrollment. I was a big believer in it. And I developed a few programs.
Oh, more than a few? No, don't be humble here.
That were centered and the foundation was dual enrollment. So these are community college courses that students could take while in high school that led towards a degree. And some of them, over 2 years, students could earn 30 or more college credits while they're still in high school. So it's kind of like think AP, but the students are actually taking the classes. They're not generalized. They're very specific. Engineering, cybersecurity, all those things. And students are earning college credits. And it gives you a lot of opportunities when you graduate. You can transfer to a four-year college. You could finish up at a community college in a year. Or you could go right out into the workforce.
Yeah, lots of different pathways. And certainly for our families, important to understand, it's not that you're committing to a career path forever, that your kid's not married to it. Mm-hmm. You can try it out and say, I'm glad I did this because this is not my jam. We had a lot of that, Tara, with not a lot, but our engineering program. Some of the kids, I would say maybe 15% were like, you know what? I really want to go business. Like,
better to find out then, right? Then
Well, exactly. Because if that student didn't have that opportunity to kind of test the waters, we are now testing the waters after high school. Stakes are a lot higher and the price tag is a lot higher as well.
Yeah. Tracy actually invented the term scholarshiped students. We scholarship students. So we paid for their tuition and fees. So the cost of those college credits was zero.
Yeah. So I reframed it for students because sometimes they would forget that you applied for this early college program and how much are you paying? Oh, no, you're not paying anything. So it's scholarshiped. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. So tell us, Shari, a little bit, if you have any examples of students you've worked with or students you know, when we're talking about just different pathways. You used a word earlier over coffee, describing a very typical suburban school. You use the word homogenous. Mm-hmm. And I thought, gosh, right? We are very homogenous. So tell us more about that line of thinking when it comes to student interest and just alternatives.
So I found in these particular communities that the homogeneous nature of a student is actually celebrated. So they tend to like students who are academically talented, but not necessarily gifted, like scary gifted, because that's a lot of work and planning. And
we'll talk about scary gifted later, for sure.
And they like students who are very athletically gifted. But if you don't fit the mold in those ways, you can be looked over, you can feel isolated, you can feel not valued. And I call that a crime against children. Because all children should be supported and cared for emotionally and academically. So I wanted to really focus on that.
And we know that one size doesn't fit all. So like my sweatshirts, one size does not fit all. I think they changed that label to one size fits most. But even that, our programs don't always fit all. Tara and I talk a lot about our kids having their own timelines as well. Oh. So like, it's not just about pathway, but it's like when they get their butt on the pathway.
Exactly. And I think sometimes as a parent myself, I've experienced the same thing. You know, my daughter has taken a longer time to find her pathway and her truth, and is just now at 32 going back to school to finish up a professional degree in clinical psychology, a doctoral degree, but it took her a long time. She had to go to law school and crash and burn because that's what her father wanted her to do. She had no passion for it, but he just wanted her to be able to make a living. And you know, so she's just returning, and I wish I had allowed her to follow her passion and her pathway when she was 18. We did not do that. We kind of forced her into a hole. And, you know, others, particularly boys, they need a little bit more support. But I think the key is you have to let your children be who they are. You can't force them to be, you know, fit in that mold. You've got to let them be who they are and support them in following that pathway.
Mm. And I think it's important to also note that whatever, you know, however, whatever pathway that they're on, there's a reason that they went through. Like your daughter was in law school. I am confident that that will help her in her next steps in some ways, you know.
Yeah.
So taking what she learned. So I think that although, and of course I'm speaking from experience, starting off in one profession, then switching and switching and switching, and finally finding the one that was right for me. But every day, every month, and every year, I've used what I've learned in those other paths to
Tell
help
her
support.
What your other path was.
Well, I used to work in television.
Wow.
I started off in fashion, then television. And there's so many components of what I learned there in that I use in my classroom. Yeah. So it's definitely not wasted, but it is frustrating when you're in the moment, right? And you're trying to figure it all out. And I think that just allowing a little bit of grace is often helpful in those situations. But yeah, not that we also don't want to pressure them into doing what we think is
tough.
The best. Yeah,
that is very wise, Tara. You're a very wise person. It's true. And it's not a sprint, right? It's not a race.
Yeah.
It is a marathon, and you're in it for the long haul. So we look for what you just described, which we call in technical education, transferable skills.
Transferable skills, right. Especially nowadays.
Oh, for sure.
We need them.
Mm-hmm. We need them.
Mm-hmm. We did a whole episode on making sure that whatever major your kid selects, that you have credentialing, you have transferable skills. So if you're going to study X, make sure along the way you learn the technology, you know, or just learning how to learn.
Exactly.
That it's because technology is changing so much.
That, you know, that is such a great point. And that is another alternative that high school students can take. They can get what we call industry valued certifications. So, for example, our cybersecurity students also earn CompTIA Plus network security. Yes, high school students.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And it sets students apart. You know, it makes them stand out.
Yeah. Sure. And it gives them options. Too.
Exactly.
Because if a student is not ready after high school, then maybe they want to utilize those industry credentials and apply it to, I hate saying the real world, but to the workforce.
The workforce.
It's
true. And then there's other things that students can do where it's not applying for college and going directly in.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I knew a student who got into a great university, University of New Mexico. They have an amazing photography program there, and he was passionate about photography. And so he deferred the admission and took a gap year. And gap years are not unstructured necessarily. They're not just work a drudgery type job, and they're not just like, you know, sit in the basement and play video games. There are a lot of programs like Project Adventure and other organizations.
Flight School is another one.
Yeah, good ones that offer a structured gap year in between high school and college where students get those transferable skills that help them become more college ready. And this particular student who loved photography went to Vietnam and Nepal and India and taught English to children, and he took pictures the entire time he was away. And when he got back, he had this beautiful portfolio, and University of New Mexico actually gave him a large scholarship for the work he had done. Maybe your child isn't quite ready for college right out of high school. Maybe they need another year, but don't let them just sit around. Don't let them do rote work. Get something for them or help them get something that really helps them grow and develop as people.
Yeah. And there's even some new trends in terms of gap years. I know we did an episode on this, a full episode, but some students are using a gap year program as a way, a pathway, while they're waitlisted.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're ditching the gap year once they get off the waitlist.
Right.
And sometimes they're even, they are in college, they're at a university, and then they take a gap year or a break in the middle there. So like you were saying, for the high school student who left to work at Disney, same type of thing, but now at a college level. So there's all kinds of new things that are happening. And I think it's, from a parent's perspective, it can be scary.
Right.
It can be very scary to walk on that different path. Yeah. Because we want to see our children reach their goals. Yeah. We want to see them be successful. We want to see them, you know, feel passionate about something and thriving in the world. But at the same time, to not let them, right?
Yeah.
Not let them take that other path.
Yeah. And I think I hear it over and over again. There's a real fear that they will never go back to school.
Yeah.
That if they take that gap, they're never going to go back. And that's not necessarily true.
Right.
Yeah. Tara, you're mentioning before about students who are electing for a gap year. What we're seeing with this admission cycle, something not necessarily new, but a lot more prevalent. I know Rutgers is doing it. I've never seen Rutgers do it. Instead of the fall admit, they're just saying flat out, welcome to Rutgers. You start in the spring.
Mm.
So talk about a monkey wrench. I'm a type A firstborn. I'll admit it. I'm kind of like an A minus now. I'm in recovery, but I like having my ducks in a row. And let me tell you, what a monkey wrench. And a couple of our clients were, you know, they're admitted to the schools that they wanted to attend, but they cannot start until the spring. And they had to make a decision. Do I say yes to this? And now what am I going to do from now until January? And what a great opportunity to take some time and explore. But how? But where? Where does a family start? These are great, you know, these are great questions. What I don't think the industry has caught up with what's really happening with our emerging adults.
Right.
We have this archaic system in place, and you know, 18 to 25 year olds are waiting longer to get married. They're waiting longer to have kids. They're waiting longer to finish their education. They're waiting longer to figure out what they might want to pursue for whatever reasons.
Right.
Economics, they're not leaving the house as soon. I mean, our generation, we're all the same demographic here. I remember thinking, oh my God, I hope my parents don't kick me out at 18. Because 18, you're a legal adult.
Yeah.
And for some magical reason, 18 was like, you're out of here. But now it's like, you know, I know for me as a stepmom, I've had my 20-somethings in and out, you know. And there's no questions asked.
Yeah. My son is actually graduating from veterinary school in June, and he wants to come and live at home because he has debt, and he wants to pay that debt off.
Right.
And so if he lives at home, you know,
it's more manageable. Can't fault him for that.
I cannot fault him.
Absolutely. I know. No. And I think I feel like the generation above us, I'm thinking about my parents, and you know, just I could see them shaking their head and in judgment. But that's where we are realistically in this economy. We're trying to not just do right by our kids, but we don't want them to start from behind. So when we talk about gap years and we talk about off the beaten path, which was actually the name of our episode when we first started talking about this, but it's scary.
It's scary.
And even as a public school high school counselor, when I have a, if I get a prodigy, if I have a, like a legit prodigy coming in, like we had Kyle, Kyle Lowe, when we taught sixth grade, when we were in middle school together, when we taught, we weren't in middle school together. We were teaching in middle school together, but it gave me some anxiety because I had to totally veer off everything I did. I was asked to teach AP bio to an 11 year old and I thought, ew, no. Oh, I was so mad. Of course, I was also pregnant with my second kid and hormonal, but I was still so resistant to bend and flex. Can you speak to any experiences that parents may need to understand about what to expect when you've identified, hey, my kid is special. Yeah. My kid is not in, fitting in this box.
Yeah. My last year of employment at my, in my school district, we had this tremendously gifted student, a viola prodigy. I mean, the student was so far advanced of her peers and also academically. And after her freshman year, was offered an intensive semester at a boarding school that focused on classical music.
Wow.
And she couldn't really pass up the opportunity of a lifetime, but she had to leave school. And it was very scary for her and her family. And, you know, she came to the school and asked if she could come back. And this school, which, you know, which I was part of and loved, was very resistant to that.
It's scary because there's compliance, too. Like, how do
so
we
much
fit
compliance.
This, you know, the square peg in a round hole situation for the kid? But also you're talking about New Jersey state law, education law.
Yeah, graduation like, requirements,
right,
attendance
right,
requirements.
Right.
So, you know, the school was kind of spinning about what to do. And so I worked with the family and we designed a course sequence for the year that would help the student participate in this viola intensive and also continue her academics. She took some community college courses, some online courses, took yoga for her phys ed requirements.
That's amazing. This is great.
You know, and is really on track to go back to high school, which kind of brings us back to our opening conversation about Jasmine. So she's ready to go back, and I think she's a better community member student you know, asset. But
I also think what's important for families to understand is families need to find an advocate. You need to find an ally, an advocate in school, outside of school. So all the three of us are all consultants. We all do this on the side. Shari is part of Ripple Education Consulting. And if anyone is listening who's like, oh, my gosh, I need someone like this to advocate for my family, certainly reach out to us on From Carpool to College on our website or our Academic Mentoring LLC website and let us know that you want to connect with Shari Castelli from Ripple Education Consulting. But you need an advocate who's knowledgeable. You need a navigator who knows the different roadmaps because there are other pathways do exist. We were talking about colleges earlier.
Yeah.
So Tara and I we work independently as consultants and families come to us all the time with this kind of thing like, ugh, my kid doesn't fit in the box for whatever reason. My kid was homeschooled for 2 years. My kid is a musician. My kid played semi-pro soccer in Portugal or wherever, you know, it is. You need an ally. You need someone to kind of be that spirit guide for you as you look to different options. But we were talking about also colleges.
Yeah.
So not every college will be a great fit for your kid. So let's talk about some of these alternative colleges. And I don't want to say alternative. That's like a bad – I don't like that. That's not a good label.
No, I think you had mentioned, Shari, like a little gems that are hidden, right?
So, hidden gems.
Yeah,
hidden
because gems. They're just – for whatever reason, they're smaller. They don't have the marketing. They don't have that big fanfare, but
– Yeah, but they offer students different kinds of – of college experiences, and they're more what I call student-centered. So what they really care about are the needs of the students, and they have more flexibility for students. So we talked about there's a gem up, we'll call it an emerald. Up in Maine called College of the Atlantic. And it's really for kids who are outdoorsy, community-minded. They only have one major. It's called human ecology. So it's very open-ended, but they've had great success with graduates making a difference in their communities. There's a wonderful college called Warren Wilson, which is in Asheville, North Carolina. I visited many times because my parents live about 3 miles from the campus. And every student has an internship, and they learn by doing, and they have a working farm and gardens, which contribute to the meals that they serve on campus, and students get tuition breaks and housing breaks for working on the farm and working in the gardens. There's a college in Kentucky called Berea, I believe. And Berea is also tuition free, and students do hands-on learning, tuition free, so everyone is involved in working in the community. And there's a college in Washington State called Evergreen State University, and students govern and run the college, and those students get to design their own major and their own learning program. And finally, there's a gem, maybe it's amethyst, called Deep Springs College in California, and they have very small cohorts.
That the one in the desert?
It's in the desert on a cattle ranch. Life of leadership and service, tuition free. So students learn on a working cattle ranch, and they learn very hands-on by doing, by leading, by being involved in the community. So these are different kinds of experiences students can have. I've noticed there are always it colleges that every
all
kid,
of these, all the pennants that we have.
All the pennants that you have.
It's 30 schools.
Yeah.
All the students are applying to the same 30 schools.
Right. And then what I hear from the kids, it's, you know, they come back and it's like, well, it's like I'm in high school, but I'm at, you know.
At such and such.
At university, but it's just like being in high school. And because, you know, they're kind of it schools where all the kids apply to, and, you know, and then it evolves over time. But maybe there's a school or a program that's not on the beaten path. It's off the beaten path.
Yeah.
And it may be right for your child.
Yeah. And so I'm sure by searching on social media, right, that would be a good place to start. You can kind of switch your algorithm, and then you probably get more and more and more and more everything off the beaten path. But that may just help you to kind of discover different opportunities, different schools out there.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be a small niche school like those I've just mentioned. My son actually went to Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo, which was very far for us. It was, you know, 3,000 miles away. But he knew he wanted to be a veterinarian, and it was all learning by doing. And it was, you go in with, you know, a major in mind. So you go into right into a college. He went into the College of Agriculture and Architecture and Environmental Science. And, you know, if you have a kid who knows what they want and wants to stay the course, it's a great school because you get right down to it, you know, and they pare away all the liberal artsy stuff. I mean, not that you don't take it, but you're immersed in it right away.
Right. It's not that traditional gen eds, your English one, your English two, your college algebra. It's much more experiential learning.
Right.
So, well, hopefully we have some good takeaways for our families. We're talking about off the beaten path. We talked about gap years. We talked about experiential learning, some niche colleges, and even while your kid is in high school or maybe even middle school, taking care of our exceptional students. And maybe they're not in gifted and talented But that doesn't mean that they don't have talents and components in their life that could be nurtured. So find yourself advocates. Reach out to us. Reach out to Shari at Ripple Education Consulting. Reach out to us at Academic Mentoring, because we could plug you in like a switchboard operator. Oh, that's my showing my age. They don't have that anymore. Is there a new term that I could use?
Oh, come on. You're not
besides
that old.
Switchboard operator, but my parents know what I'm talking about. So we will plug and play. We will plug and play.
It's better, I guess.
So thank you so much for joining us in the studio today, Shari. Do you want to leave us with any pearls of wisdom with all the gem talk? Now I want to go jewelry shopping. Still looking for sponsorships, by the way. Jewelry is just fine.
Well, first of all, thank you both for having me. It was such a pleasure talking with two such passionate advocates. I think what I want to leave you with is, once again, all children are gems. They just may have a different color or shape, and that's okay. But the system only likes certain colors and types often, and that you have to advocate or get an advocate if your child is slightly different. And you should know that it's okay. It's okay to have a child that's different, and they will be wonderful adults if you let them be who they are.
Great, great way to wrap up this episode. Shari Castelli, thank you for joining us in the studio today. It's an honor that you spent your time and energy with us. We appreciate it. Our families appreciate it. I'm Tracy Amadeo.
And I'm Tara Horitz.
And thanks for joining us on From Carpool to College.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you enjoyed what you heard, we'd love for you to be a part of our growing community. Please share and follow our show. For those who want to support us further, join our Patreon site. Your support helps us create high-quality content and great episodes. Plus, our Patreon members get exclusive perks like bonus episodes, early access, and behind-the-scenes content that we think you're just going to love.
And now for some legal stuff. The content of this podcast is for informational and educational entertainment purposes only, and is provided as is with no guarantee of accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or outcomes. I could keep going, but I will spare you, and I will post this entire legal disclaimer on our website, www.academicmentoringllc.com, under podcast. Tara and I are so glad you joined us today on From Carpool to College. See you next time. Something like that.
Yeah.
Done.
That's good.
Okay, Chris, make that pretty, please. Pretty, please. Make it pretty, please.
I am from the class of 2030. I've come back.